Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
Well, this morning, how many of you guys looked in the mirror? Okay, some of you did. Good. We were at my son and daughter-in-law's, and they had just moved into a brand new house. No mirrors in the house yesterday. I was like, how am I going to get ready? But I do have a question for you this morning. When you look in the mirror, who do you see? What do you say about yourself? Father, we come to you this morning having gratitude that you knew us before you formed us in our mother's womb. And you put an assignment on each of us, a purpose that's bigger than we can see, a purpose that is even anything that we think that we can do. Today, Lord, I pray over every single person that hears this word, that they partner with what you say about them. The identity that you have placed on every single person is greater than they can wrap their mind around. And today, Lord, we are just praying for a supernatural touch from heaven on our minds so that we believe who you say that we are. We love you today. We're expectant today. Do what only you can do in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. How many of you guys think that the Lord has done a deep work in you through this Grit series? My. I'm blown away. And Pastor Jay did a beautiful job last week. Just incredible job on the premise of self-love. Just wow. I mean, if we don't love ourselves, we can't love God correctly. We can't love others correctly, right? And you know, as she was preaching last week, I took out my phone in my notes and I said, I typed in there, this is the most perfect setup for next week's message. I want to preach a message today called Identity Crisis. I'm going to ask you young people to really lean in today. I want everybody to lean in. But you young people, you're dealing with something that we never had to deal with. And so I'm going to ask you to lean in today. Identity is defined as the set of qualities, beliefs, personality traits, appearances, or expressions that characterize a person or group. I want to read a book to you this morning. Way back in the day, 30 some years ago, I started out my career as a teacher. And so I love to read, and Paige is going to turn the pages for me. But I want to read a book called Edward the Emu. Edward the Emu was sick of the zoo. There was nowhere to go. There was nothing to do. And compared to the seals that lived right next door, well, being an emu was frankly a bore. So that night when the zookeeper went home to bed, Edward jumped from the pen and he laughed as he said, "The seals are the best anybody can tell. So tomorrow I'll just be a seal as well." So the next morning at 9 when they opened the zoo, the seals were swimming and Edward was too. He dived in the water and basked in the sun, and he balanced a ball on his beak just for fun. Let them see him being a seal. Well, Edward was really enjoying the day till he overheard someone behind the fence say, "The seals are amusing. It's true. But the lion's the best thing to see at the zoo." So that night, when the zookeeper went home to bed, Edward jumped from the pool and he smiled as he said, "The lion's the best. Anybody can tell. So tomorrow, I'll just be a lion as well." The next morning at 9, when they opened the zoo, the lions were roaring, and Edward was too. He snarled at the ladies and he growled at the men. Life was certainly grand for a lion in his den. Well, Edward was having a wonderful day till a man in the crowd had the gumption to say, "The lion's a beast I shall always detest. The snakes are the thing I like to see best." So that night, when the zookeeper went home to bed, Edward crept from the cage and he grinned as he said, "If the snakes are the best things, and that's what they say, then tomorrow I'll just be a snake for the day." The next morning at 9, when they opened the zoo, the snakes were all hissing, and Edward was too. He slipped around the rocks. It was magic to see. Then he curled himself casually up around a tree. Well, Edward was warming up for the day when he overheard one of the visitors say, "The snakes are impressive, I know it's true, but the emu's by far the best thing at the zoo." "The emu," gasped Edward, "my goodness, that's me. I'm the thing that gentleman most likes to see. Not the seals, the lions, the snakes, and the rest. It's Edward the emu he likes to see best." So that night when the zookeeper went home to bed, Edward slipped from the cage and he laughed as he said, "If the emu's the best, then that's easy then. Tomorrow, I'm Edward the emu again." Edward ran to the place he used to reside, but oh, what a shock when he clambered inside. He found himself suddenly come face to face with the emu they'd brought in to take Edward's place. The emus considered each other a while. Then the new emu said with a shy little smile, "Hello, I'm Edwina. It's nice meeting you. You're the best thing I've seen since I came to the zoo." Thank you. Edward was really having an identity crisis. He wanted to be what he heard everybody else say that he was. He wanted to be the seals, the lions, the snakes, and the rest, not Edward the emu. The emu that God had made for such a time as this. I want you to write this down. How far, I need to give you a minute. Get your phone. Take a note. I believe this needs to be posted everywhere, in your car, on your mirror, on the refrigerator, because we all know we eat. But write this down. How far you go and how much you grow is not determined by what you believe about God, but what you believe about you. How far you go and how much you grow is not determined by what you believe about God, but what you believe about you. See, God made you exactly the way that he wanted to make you. But we discount who God says that we are. And I'm here to tell somebody today that just as you are, you are the one that God likes most to see. He likes you how you are. And just like Edward, God can never bless who we pretend to be. And I know how many of you thought it was so cute seeing Edward growl and get out of the pool. And it's cute. But I realized after about the second one that it wasn't cute. Because Edward didn't know who he was. And he was comparing himself to everybody else and trying to be who God did not make him. Can you say identity crisis? Today, I've got this mirror. And maybe you need to put identity on your mirror too, so that you begin to believe what God says about you. You see, God says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. But we look in the mirror and say, I'm not good enough. God says you are the apple of his eye. But we look in the mirror and say, I am nothing. God says that you are not a mistake. But we look in the mirror and say, I can't do anything right. God says that you are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. But we look in the mirror and say, I am not worthy. God says you are blessed and not cursed. But we look in the mirror and we say, I am a failure. God says you are forgiven. And we look in the mirror and say, I have so much shame. God says you are loved. But we look in the mirror and we say, nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I guess I'll just go eat worms. Or I guess I'll try to be what someone else says that I am instead of what God says that I am. I really like what the Bible says in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. I'm not really a message girly. I don't read a lot from the message. But as I was preparing, the Lord took me to the Message Bible. And I believe it has impact for us today. So it says in the message, but you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. So just as you are good enough. Just as you are, you're chosen. And just as you belong. But why do we not believe what God says about us? I want to share three reasons with you today. There are more, but these are the three I want to share with you today. First reason is negative words have been spoken over us. And here's what happens when we speak negative words over people or ourselves. We hear them, we own them, and they become our identity. Identity crisis. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love to eat it will eat its fruit. Let me do that again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Yesterday, Cade kept saying, I can't, I can't. And I said, yes, you can. repeat after me. I can do anything. And in the afternoon, and he said, I can't again. You can do anything. Say, I can do anything. And he repeated, I can do anything. And then later in the day, he was doing something and he said, I can do anything. There is power of life and death in your tongue. There really is. What you speak to yourself, what you allow other people to speak over you becomes life or death. And sadly, sometimes intentionally and sometimes unintentionally, negative words are spoken over us. And they hurt us, they break our heart, and they crush our spirit. And I also believe that for some people, they really don't want to speak negative words, but that's all they've ever known. They've grown up having negative words spoken over them. Then they go on and do that to their children, and then their children do it to their children, and it becomes a generational curse. And in the end, they really don't want to be doing that. I am going to preface this next story I share with you on the front end. Wasn't going to do it, but the Holy Spirit led me that way yesterday. I love my mama. I have forgiven her. And before she passed away, our relationship became very strong. But I grew up having death spoken over me. You're lazier than whale puke. You aren't worth the powder and lead to blow your hind end in China. I wish you were never born. I hate you. And I own those words. For a long, 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 long time, I owned those words. That became my identity. I'm lazy. So I began to work hard so that I would not be seen lazy. Well, you're worthless. So I started doing things to show my worth, instead of tapping into what God said about me. I took on that identity. But there was a night when I was in middle school, and I had just gone through all that. I went to my room, I was crying, and my eyes were red, tears were rolling down my face, and my eyes were all puffy. And I was laying back on my bed, and I made a decision that I never want to make someone else feel that way. And I said out loud in my middle school bedroom, I will not treat my kids this way. Fast forward to when my boys were 7 and 8 and 11 and 12. We were at family Christmas. And everything was going great. And I walked into the kitchen, and my mom was speaking death over my son. And I was like, no, this didn't happen. Boys, gather your stuff. We're going home. I'm not happening. So as I was going upstairs to get the stuff out of the bedroom in my sister's house, my dad came up and he was like, sis, that's just how she is. She can't help it. And I said, Dad, I love you. I love her. But I've got a responsibility, and I made a decision that my boys are not going to be spoken to that way. And I said, she may have done it to me, but she's not going to do it to them. And we left. I know that childhood rhyme, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt me. But words hurt. Words hurt. And it causes death in our identity. I am a living example of it because I grew up with very low self-esteem. I didn't think I was good enough. I would come in a group of people and feel like I didn't fit. I'm not good. When we do not heal from what broke us, we are going to continue to break other people. And maybe it's not words for you. Maybe it's not abuse for you. But what is it? If you don't heal from it, you're going to continue to do it. And that's going to, what that is called is a generational curse. But the Lord tells us that he allows us to drop the generational curse and have a generational blessing. Another reason we don't believe what God says about us, number two, is culture is screaming so loudly that we can't even hear God. We just want people to like us, accept us, make us feel important. And so culture begins to tell us that, well, that's okay. Okay is the enemy of great. So when culture says you are fill in the blank, we believe it. When culture says it's okay to, we believe it. Identity crisis. Who you hang out with, and who you will listen to or even allow speak over you will influence your identity. Let the Bible prove it. Our identity began way back in the beginning of the world in the garden. The devil came to Eve and said, hey, if you eat of this tree, you will become like God, and that's why he doesn't want you to do it. But Genesis 1:27 tells us, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Let me break it down for you. This scripture tells us that Eve was like God because she was made in his image. And what I have found is when the devil can't get you to change your mind about God, he is going to get you to change your mind about yourself. We know God's good. We know he's faithful. We know he's a forgiver. We know all these great things about God, but because the devil can't get us to think differently about him, then he starts attacking our identity. So if he's telling you you are rejected, you can just replace that and say, I am accepted. If he is telling you you are weak, the Bible, God tells you you are strong. If he is telling you you are not good enough, the Bible says we're more than enough. We're more than conquerors. And one thing I learned, 20 plus years ago, and I learned it in the business world. But 2 weeks ago, the Lord gave me a revelation that it's biblical. What I learned is this phrase, you might want to write this down, and I know that I'm going to be hearing you guys say this a lot. Cancel, cancel. I choose not to accept that. 2 Corinthians 10:5, I'm going to be reading in the ESV version, says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Cancel, cancel is being a doer of the word that we read and hear. Cancel, cancel. I'm taking that thought captive because I don't want it to be my identity. I'm going to take it captive, and I'm going to remember what God says about me. So when culture tries to make you think something about yourself that is not what God says about you, what are you going to say? I choose not to accept it. Cancel, cancel. I choose not to accept that. I am who God says that I am. Repeat that after me. I am who God says that I am. Say it again. A little louder, like you mean it, like you believe it. Come on. That's it. That's it. We are who God says we are. So devil access denied. The last reason we don't believe what God says about us is comparison and inadequacy. Come on, somebody. Feeling inadequate and comparing yourself to someone else will always have you feeling like Edward the Emu. Compared to the seals that lived right next door, well, being an emu is frankly a bore. So let me make this practical for your everyday life. So when you see that marriage that you think they've got it all together, that they don't argue, they don't have strong discussions, that they always agree, that they're so lovey-dovey, come on, you know what it is. You know what I'm talking about. We compare what our marriage is to what their marriage is. When we see these perfect little children doing exactly what their parents say, being so obedient, so kind, we compare our toddler temper tantrums, or maybe our teenage temper tantrums, and adults, we can act like teens a lot of times. We compare and we think, oh my gosh, I am a horrible mom. I am a horrible dad. Why are my kids acting this way when everybody else's kids are so good? Or we jump on social media. Paige said in her breakout session at worship, if you have time to scroll on social media, you have time to read the word. And I was like, wow, that's really deep. If you can scroll for even 15 minutes, 15 minutes in the word is huge. But let's say we're scrolling on social media and we see this influencer. And we begin to compare ourselves and say, well, I'm not as good as she is. I'm not as an eloquent speaker like she is. Oh my gosh, she makes so much money. Oh, I wish I could do what she does. That seems like a really fun job. But can I tell you that social media are people's highlight reels? Nobody puts on there, oh, let me set up my camera. My husband and I are arguing. Nobody records the food when we're making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Nobody puts on, oh, well, look at this devil child. We don't do that. We don't do it. So here's the deal. We have got to quit letting social media get us in a place of comparison. Social media, I believe, and I love it. It's a great tool, but it has intensified comparison and inadequacy in each of us. Instead of looking in the mirror and telling yourself what God says, we compare ourselves and we end up comparing our worst qualities with someone else's best qualities. That is what comparison does. It steals your joy. And you're not even comparing apples to apples and oranges to oranges. You're comparing an apple to an orange. And I don't like oranges. I do, but do you see what I'm saying? And even Moses in the book of Exodus compared himself. And he felt inadequate. God chose Moses to take all of these Israelites and lead them out of Egypt into the promised land. God parted the waters in the middle of the Red Sea. God really put identity on Moses. But as soon as God said, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh, guess what happened? The excuses started flying. Like, Moses is like, but who am I? I'm going to tell you the five that he used, but who am I? I don't know enough. No one will believe me. I'm not a good speaker. He had a stutter. And then in Exodus 4:13, Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else. I have to wonder, was Moses giving these excuses because he was comparing himself? I mean, God used Aaron to go to Pharaoh. But I look back in this book, and if you don't believe what God says about you and walk in it, God's going to choose somebody. Just like Edward the emu did not want to be an emu, so he brought in another emu to take his place. But don't hear what I'm not saying. God made you to do what he wants you to do. We're the ones that negate that by not believing who he said that we are. And how many of us have been at a time where we think, I can't do it as good as that person, whoever that person is. So we begin to start making excuses. That was me when I first started preaching. I was like, no, I'm not good enough. I don't get messages like you get. I don't know how to write a message. And thankfully, my husband kept speaking life over me. And he kept saying, you are a preacher. You are going to do this. You are going to be preaching once a month. And I would try to get out of it. But you need people in your corner that begins to speak life over you. Right, Lindsay? Lindsay and I painted the mural together on Monday night, and she begins to tell me all the things she believes about herself. And I was like, you don't know you. You don't see what I see. And that's a word for so many of you in here today. You don't know you. You don't believe what God says about you. You don't see what everybody else sees, and today is a turning point in your life. Comparison does nothing but steal our identity. It steals our identity. And when we allow comparison and inadequacy to do that, we start this downward spiral. Downward spiral, even into depression. And we don't believe what God says. See, Edward the emu was taking on the identity of the seals, the lions, the snakes, and the rest because he was comparing himself to them, right? And he did that three times until he overheard someone behind the fence say, emus are by far the best thing at the zoo. Then Edward goes on to say, if the emu's the best, that's easy then. Tomorrow I'm Edward the emu again. And I believe when you absolutely know who you are and whose you are, you're going to take on that identity and it's going to be easy. Your life will become so easy because you're no longer comparing. You're no longer listening to what culture is saying. You're no longer letting those negative words tell you who you are. And I'm going to ask them to go ahead and dim the lights. I really do believe in my heart of hearts that it's time to start believing who God says you are. I was gonna print it, these I am statements, but then I was like, whatever you give somebody without any effort doesn't mean as much. So you can go Google that, I am statements, that when you say this, this is what God says about you. So today, the Lord highlighted people to me that have had their identity stolen, and they have been in an identity crisis for far too long. And that this morning, he wants to restore who he said you were. Not what the lions, the seals, the snakes, and the rest, but who God, the maker, the creator, the one who adores you, who knows the number of hairs on your head, who's called you, who's chosen you, who thinks that you're a royalty. He's going to restore that today. But you know what else he showed me? There are going to be people that won't just reach out and take on God's identity for them. So that's where we're going to pray today. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I declare and I decree a freedom over every person in this room. God, that you are going to take the death that has been spoken. You're going to take the comparison and inadequacy from them. You're going to take the partnering with what culture has said. God, today you're going to break chains that only you can break. Today, God, you, the restorer of all good things, are going to restore our true identity and pull us out of an identity crisis today. I believe it. So God, I pray that every person that is feeling you like really beat in their chest right now, that really identified with something in today's message, that you break all pride, you break all fear, you break all rejection. You break everything that the enemy is trying to use against them to keep them from their breakthrough. I believe it today. In the mighty name of Jesus, everyone said, amen. Begin making your way if you want an exchange from an identity crisis to your true identity.
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you next week.